Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
For their ceremonies at the sacrifices. And so it could ferment. It's in a desert area, and it could ferment, but it wouldn't be something that was away in a cask for 3 years or 5 years or 20 years. It was something that was sitting there for a short period of time, and then they were using it. And so, and it's not that they didn't do that, because they had wineskins. And so you put the wine in wineskins, keep it in there for a year, it stretches it out, and a year later you can come out with it, but they always cut it with water. And if you weren't cutting it with water, you were a drunk, is what they considered you. You were drinking unmixed wine. And so, again, you're not doing the same thing. So when Jesus does the water to wine thing, the reason that they have stone jars full of water is because that's the water that's used to mix with the wine that they're using in the feast, and they've run out of wine. And so Jesus makes new wine, and obviously they would mix it with the water, and they would go in and they would serve it. And the governor said, "That's the best wine. Why'd you do that last?" And you can tell that there's some kind of alcohol content with it. And so when you get to the end of that whole thing, you're talking about a starting alcohol content that's somewhere around 10% and probably less. And then you're cutting it down with water, and so you're getting something way less than alcohol content. You're getting somewhere around 2%. And obviously there's reasons for that. There's 4 cups of wine in a Passover service. You drink 4 cups of wine, you're gonna be plastered by the end of the service. Even if it's 4 cups of 10% wine, you're gonna be plastered at the end of the service. And again, you have that. So when Timothy is dealing with the people at Ephesus, he does not want to stumble these guys, because a lot of them have come out of backgrounds that have just been messed up. And obviously that's a background that I came out of. And it's one of those things that I dealt with when I first became a Christian. It's like, what am I gonna do with the whole drinking thing? And here's the issue that I knew about this whole thing. Even coming from the background I came from, I knew it was wrong. I knew it was messed up. I watched what my parents did when they were drunk. I watched what they did when they were tipsy. I watched what they did when they were feeling good. I watched the flirting that went on with them and somebody that was not their spouse. I watched guns come out. I've seen the whole gamut of nonsense that people do. I watched the fights. I watched all of that junk. I heard the fights in my bedroom, you know, comforting my little brother that nothing bad's gonna happen, and then something bad did happen, and all of that kind of nonsense. I've experienced it all. And then when I became an adult, I moved out on my own. I walked away from Jesus, and I jumped full bore into that. And so when you're talking about the party thing where you go out and puke and go back in and get started again, that happened at my house all the time. And so I would have parties with 400 people in, you know, at the house that I was in. I was sharing with another guy, and we were the party guys. And so they would come over, and it was just a mess. I feel really bad. I still feel really bad for the people I was renting that house from, because we didn't destroy it structurally, but that carpet was nasty, like nasty. And we're guys. I didn't know how to clean it. You know, it's like, pour some more beer on it. That'll fix it. Yeah. And so again, that whole kind of lifestyle. And you know, after any one of those parties, and there were times I usually wasn't like that, but there were times when I would go out and puke in the backyard and turn around and go right back in. So I know what the Roman thing is about. I understand that completely. Most times I'm watching out for my house, because there's a bunch of idiots in my house who are going to be doing what I would be doing at somebody else's house. And so I was watching out, and I wasn't drinking all that much and that kind of thing. And I was able to watch out for that stuff. But still, it's just a mess. And on the other hand, those were the parties. And then there was the day to day. So I'm drinking a beer, watching TV. I know what that's like. I understand all that stuff. The problem is that you're dealing with people who've come out of that. Okay, let me do a couple other things with you. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 23, verse 29. This is a great passage on drinking. I just saw another verse. Look at verse 20. Do not mix with wine bibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. That's a good one. Those are all my friends. Verse 29. Verse 29, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Have you ever had a long, drawn-out conversation with a drunk complaining? And even people who don't think that they're drunk. They're sitting there complaining and talking about their life and woe is me and playing country music in the background. Who has wounds without cause? Wake up the next morning and you're like, oh, my jaw is sore. What's that about? Who has redness of eyes, those who linger long at the wine, those who go in search of mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. You guys remember that? They gave the wine in the cup, and you put the little goblet stem right between your fingers right here. You swirl it around, like the crossing your leg, swirling it around, leaning against something, and sniff it. You're just so cool. When it swirls around smoothly, at the last it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things and your heart will utter perverse things. That's amazing, the stuff that comes out of a drunk person's mouth. Or again, somebody who's feeling their liquor. Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies at the top of the mast saying, they have struck me, but I was not hurt. They beat me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake that I may seek another drink? If you go back over to Proverbs chapter 20 in verse 1, it says, wine is a mocker. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. And so wine is, again, the wine that we're talking about, and almost always cut with water. And then strong drink is beer. They had wine and beer back in those days. And again, whoever is led astray by it is not wise. It's one of the things that people fall into, and especially people who come out of Christian backgrounds. They didn't come out of this stuff, and this is one of the things that I've seen with people. They didn't come out of this stuff, and so they don't know how dangerous it is. They haven't come out of this stuff. They don't know what it does to people's lives. And there are a lot of times when people don't have the right attitude towards this stuff, and we need to have the right attitude. There's a passage in Romans chapter 14, verses 20 through 21, where Paul says this, don't tear apart the work of God over what you eat. Remember, all foods are acceptable, but it's wrong to eat something if it makes another person stumble. It's better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else if it might cause another believer to stumble. And again, what he's doing is he's talking in the Roman culture. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul says to him, don't be drunk with wine in which is no salvation. That's literally how it reads in Greek. In which is no salvation. You're not getting saved by drinking a glass of wine. So don't be drunk with wine in which is no salvation, but instead be constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit, singing yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And the Bible talks about thankfulness and praising the Lord. And there's a replacement for this kind of lifestyle. So to the church at Ephesus, he tells them, don't get drunk. To the church at Rome, he says, don't drink. And again, it's a matter of emphasis because of where the culture's at. Obviously, in Ephesus, you're in a Middle Eastern culture, and so some of that is going to blend in with the Roman colony type of culture, and most of the Middle Eastern people didn't have the problem that the Romans had with drinking. But when Paul's talking to the Romans, he says it's better not to drink wine at all if you're going to make somebody stumble. And that's one of those things that, again, we need to keep in mind when we're dealing with people who are around us. You are not to stumble people. And we got a lot of people in our culture who have a problem with this kind of issue. Brandon was talking about going to U-Turn last week. Well, you know, we've got some of the same stuff going on. I don't know if you know about Scott Shell. He and his wife are doing a ministry to people who've come out of jail specifically because of substance abuse. And they come to our church. And they usually sit right up in here. And they are coming to church because they're trying to get their lives turned around. And one of the things that Christians need to be is sensitive to the people who are around them. And like I said, I'm not somebody who's afraid of a beer or something, but I don't drink. And the reason I don't drink is because I care more about other people than I do about beer. I care more about other people than I do about wine. I care more about other people than I do about swirling it in my glass and sniffing it and doing that kind of nonsense. And I'm, you know, if I'm picking on you, I'm sorry, but compared with somebody's life, that is all nonsense. You know, it's nothing but a drink. And so why can't you give it up? You know, a lot of times, this is the kind of conversation I have with people when I do have these conversations. Lots of people don't want to converse with me about it because I've got ammo. But when I have conversations with people about this, they have an attitude, and they're like, you know what, if me drinking is going to stumble somebody, then maybe they just need to grow up. You ever heard that? Yeah. Maybe you need to grow up. Maybe that's what needs to happen. Maybe you need to care about other people more than you care about what goes down your gullet. Maybe you need to care about the lives of people that have come out of backgrounds like that are just going to get trashed by your bad example. You do stumble people when this stuff goes on. People have been stumbled in our fellowship because of that kind of attitude specifically. I had a situation at a wedding, and at this wedding, actually I did the wedding, and I knew the people, obviously, and they had a mixture of beverages that you could have. And you could have sparkling cider if you were of the teetotaler type, or you could have champagne, or, you know, they had wine too, if you were of that type. And there were kids from our fellowship that were helping to serve there. One of the kids was having a struggle in this kind of area. She specifically was having a struggle with her mom and whether or not she's going to follow Jesus and that kind of thing. And she's going around serving people from Calvary. And the reason I know about all this stuff is because I got informed of it from her family after the fact. And so she's going around and she's passing this out, and she would offer either one to the people who were there, and there were Calvary people who took the wine. And she used it. And she basically just went, Mom, even people from Calvary were sitting there drinking. And the mom had to go, well, was Steve? Probably shivering in her shoes, you know, hoping that I wasn't. She would have known that I wasn't. But there were people who weren't, and there were people who were, and who did she glom onto? And she glommed onto the people who were, and she used that as an excuse to walk away from Christ, and she's still not following the Lord. And people will go, well, that's not the person who was drinking's fault. That's her fault. Well, you know what Jesus said about that? You stumble one of these little ones who believe in me, and it's better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and be thrown in the midst of the sea. You want to be in on that kind of judgment? Where Jesus is deciding whether it was better for you to have your little glass of wine, or better for you to care about the person who is struggling with this stuff and who's going to end up walking away from Jesus because of your actions. Well, maybe they need to grow up. Maybe you need to grow up once again. And again, that's what happened to me when I first became a Christian. Choices have to be made. And so there's a choice. There's obviously the choice in my life. And I was never an alcoholic. I was probably well on my way to being an alcoholic. But, you know, it wasn't a huge thing for me to give up. But I knew that it was messed up. And I knew that the whole lifestyle was messed up. And specifically, I knew that my friends were messed up by this stuff. And so it was a choice between my witness as a Christian and my comfort as far as what I was going to be drinking, and their even being able to receive the things that I had to say. And so I still have friends to this day that I grew up with in junior high and in high school who are still watching me. This happened at my 30-year reunion. I'm at my 30-year reunion, and I have a glass of Diet Coke in my hand. And we're in a restaurant, and a friend of mine, it was a girl that I knew from junior high and high school, she's almost like a sister to me. She comes walking up, she grabs the glass out of my hand, and she drinks out of it. And she hands it back to me, and I go, what are you doing? And she goes, I'm checking. 30 years later, 30 years after I'm out of high school, and at least that long, or about 25 years, well, probably longer than that, I haven't drank a drop, and they're still checking. They want to see if I'm still for real. about that kind of stuff. And so I've got friends that if I drank, they would just dismiss my whole life. They would dismiss my walk with God. It's important to have a good witness. And then on top of it are those people, again, who are coming out of this stuff, and they're brand new Christians, and they don't need to be caught up in it once again. Maybe you've got the strength to be able to handle all that stuff, but maybe they don't. And so it would be a good idea if you cared about other people more than you cared about yourself. How about that? That's an important thing. Obviously, that's what the Bible calls us to. And here's another thing. Why can't you give it up? Is it really that important to you? Is that really that big a deal? Maybe it's gotcha. Maybe that's the deal. Because I've known all kinds of people. And again, I grew up with this stuff. They can't go to sleep at night without drinking. They can't. They can't drink by themselves. So they always have to have somebody drinking with them. And if they got one guy in the room who's not drinking, guess who they're going after? Why do you think that is? What do you think's happening there? That may be a spiritual issue, something like that going on. And so there are bigger things than whether or not it's just a glass of some kind of liquid, and there are things that we need to be watching out for. There's a passage in 1 Peter 4, verses 1 through 4. I'm going to read this to you out of the NLT. It says, "So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin." And the point that he's making in that passage is if you're willing to suffer for Jesus, you're pretty much done with the sin thing. You're not really interested in holding on to your sin anymore because you're willing to suffer for the Lord. He goes on and he says, you finish with sin. You won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you'll be anxious to do the will of God. You've had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy. Their immorality and lust, their feasting and drunkenness and wild parties. Again, that's the stuff that I was talking about. And their terrible worship of idols. Of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do, so they slander you. That's exactly what happened when I came out of that. So I begin following Jesus, and the parties are gone. Steve's house is no longer a party house. Steve's apartment is not a place where you can go and find something to drink and, you know, sit there with him watching a game with a beer. It's not something that's going to happen anymore. And I got slandered over that. Oh, he thinks he's better than us now. He's Mr. Holy. He's Mr. Goody Two-Shoes and that kind of thing. And it's exactly the kind of thing that is supposed to happen when you come out of a lifestyle like that. People don't like it when you do the same stuff, when you don't do the same stuff that they do. And again, that's a spiritual aspect of that whole kind of issue. I've told the story before of going over to Buddy's house after I was walking with the Lord, and he's trying to get me to drink a beer. Would not let me alone until I took a sip from the beer. And I compromised and I did it, and then he finally let it alone. 6 months later, he gets saved, and he goes, "Hey, Steve, you need to go to church with me. I go to this church down in Riverside. You need to come with me." I go, "What church is it?" And he goes, "Calvary Chapel." I go there, and he goes, "You do?" Just like that. And it was all based on the fact that I was a compromiser. He didn't believe that I did. He goes, "Did you get saved?" And again, it had to do with that whole situation. It matters to people. And so, again, it's something that we need to pay attention to. Not only do we have a problem in our culture with drinking, we have a problem in our culture with drugging. And the issue with pot use, especially in Washington State, is becoming a bigger and bigger issue. You do realize that just because Washington State says it's okay doesn't mean that God thinks it's okay. Right? Do we realize this? And one of the things that people will tell me when I'm having these kinds of conversations with them is that, well, God hasn't really convicted me of that. Nonsense. I've been in your position. I've been convicted of the whole thing. I made all the same excuses to go on with my junkie lifestyle. I did all of the exact same things, and the Holy Spirit was constantly there speaking to me about what a bad witness I was and all that kind of stuff. It just happens. And so you get the same thing with the whole drink or with the whole drug thing. Turn over with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. And I really want to get to verse 20, but I'm going to read this whole thing. Galatians 5:19. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, verse 20, idolatry, sorcery. That's the word I want to focus in on. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries. That's again drinking parties. And the like of, oh, by the way, if you call it Midsummer's Eve celebration, it's still a drinking party if you're getting drunk. You know, it doesn't matter. So it could be Steve's big bash, or it could be your classy drunkenness thing. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You see that last phrase there? Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, so if you practice adultery, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. If you practice fornication, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you practice uncleanness and lewdness, that's just like filthy lifestyle, filthy jokes, filthy heart, filthy innuendos, that stuff, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Idolatry, obviously, sorcery. And the word sorcery comes from the Greek word pharmakeia. And pharmakeia is a word that's connected with drugs. Here's specifically the definition. This is out of the Enhanced Strong's Lexicon, and it says the use or the administering of drugs. It's the number one definition for the term. Now, sorcerers were people who were into magic and stuff, and they used drugs in the context of that, but that's not the primary use of that word. It's a word that means people who use illicit drugs. Do we have people in the United States who use illicit drugs? Yes, absolutely. And the fact that the government okays it doesn't mean that it's okay in the Bible. And so again, came from the background. My mom grew pot plants. You go over to my mom's house, and in the closet, there's grow lights and pot plants. She invited all the high school, her and her husband, invited all the high school kids over for a Bible study and a pot smoking session. You know? Messed up, completely messed up. And again, that's my family. You know, and so you come out of that lifestyle and you see what it does to people, and you see how it twists people, and you see how it deceives people. And it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. And so the whole issue with drugs is something that the Bible addresses, and it addresses squarely face on. And we're not to be involved in those things. That's stuff we did in the world. And now we live here. In fact, there's a passage in the book of Revelation. We're in the book of Revelation on Sunday nights. And in Revelation chapter 9, at the end of the chapter, it's all about the fact that these people are worshiping demons. And so basically God gives them demons. And at the end of the chapter, it says, and they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. And again, that word sorceries is pharmakeia. Actually, in most of the Greek manuscripts, it's not the word sorceries, it's the word drugs. They did not repent of their drugs or their sexual immorality or their thefts. And so God's clear again on this issue, and it's something that Christians are specifically supposed to be far away from, far away from. And so when we're looking at the things that we can do as a Christian and can't do as a Christian, we need to be careful about what we're doing with the people who are around us, because Jesus loves these people and he wants them to come into a relationship with Christ. And if you don't do the right things in these kinds of situations, you can stumble people.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our summer service times are 8 a.m. in our sanctuary and 10 a.m. in our outdoor amphitheater. We also meet at 6 p.m. Sundays and 6:30 p.m. Wednesdays in our sanctuary. We hope you have been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.